Blog Talk Radio.
Together and find
our commonalities and our strengths and purpose. So right now we're developing principles of solidarity, which will inform not only this assembly, but hopefully future assemblies, because we see this as a long-term movement in which fundamental transformation will happen.
Last question. I heard that there's talk of a big rally on Saturday. Is that right?
Yes, we're rallying here at noon on Saturday, and the idea is to generate support from the unions, from those who have been affected by the budget cuts. We're facing our own kind of austerity in the United States, and it's really essential that that teachers who are out of work and healthcare providers who are out of work, everyone who's affected by the cuts, come and support us so that we can build a movement together.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was Ted Heller interviewing activist Marissa Holmes. That gives you kind of an idea of what's happening there and how they are trying to organize. But there's been a lot of abuse down there, a lot of police abuse, brutality going on, and it's something that we wanted to discuss tonight. We'll look at this, but I wanted to bring up a few more videos. Let's see, they had some great ones on.
This one, I think people are finally waking up.
Yeah. And
that was a good one.
Yeah. And there's another one here about that they put up today.
And there was a noon rally for jobs in Hartford.
Yeah, well that's something I wanted to kind of concentrate
on Wall Street, okay.
So let's do this. This one I thought was really great. And this is Stan interviewing a girl who was down there, and they were feeding, you know, how they were feeding all these people, mm-hmm. and what was happening, and how this is.
So, what the logistics of it is?
Well, pretty much, but it's a fun interview, and it's girl's very good, and I hope that I'd like to play this one.
Could I have your name?
My name's Ange.
Ange, and where are you from?
I live in Jersey City, but now I live here. For the moment.
Tell us about getting food for all these people. How many people you feed a day, you think?
I have no idea how many people we're feeding every day, but I just have a constant stream of food that's being donated, and then we're just preparing it, trying to keep everything clean and doling it out. But, you know, the donations have just been really, really generous. We also have people just ordering in pizzas, so at any moment there'll be a stack of 20 pizza boxes, and then all of a sudden it's the pizza time. And so I've just been cutting a lot of pizza. But we're also focusing on trying to get healthy food out. So today we went to Whole Foods and we got a lot of prepared vegetables and things like that. And we're hopefully going to hook up with a commercial kitchen nearby so we can buy bulk from the co-op and prepare our own meals. But really the food has just been coming in from donations from all kinds of, all different people. They have some hooked up on the internet. People just dropped money in a bucket. Someone handed me $100 and said, feed everyone. And so we've just been taking everything we have and trying to make the healthiest and stretch every dollar and getting lots of fresh fruits and vegetables and keeping everyone hydrated and happy and healthy. So
people seem to be pretty good about throwing things away.
Yeah, we're keeping everything clean, and, you know, that we have our recycling situation kind of took care of itself when, you know, people who collect bottles for a living were like, oh, well, we'll just come here. So we just keep it to the side and hand it off to them, and they cash them in, so that kind of worked out. And, now we're just trying to figure out how to serve all this food in a way that's less wasteful, using less disposable goods, less, you know, we just don't want to be creating a lot of garbage. But it's come a long way from the beginning. I only got here yesterday, and it's already pretty great, so.
I ask you, how you feel about the whole issue about Wall Street?
I mean, I think I'm just really happy that my generation is finally coming out of their sort of apathy that's just been really, really depressing, and they're at least rising together to protest something. I mean, a lot of people here have disparate opinions. People have different ideas. But a lot of it is just that everyone is
very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And
I would say she was maybe in her early
20s. Yeah, there are a lot of people there are in their 20s. There's no question about
These are people probably who don't see any prospect of having a job.
Yeah, that's for sure. This is the next one I wanted to play. This is an interview with one of the girl protesters.
Caitlin, could you talk about your sign and why you're carrying it?
My sign. This sign is everything to me. This sign should be the only message that these people want to hear about today. I'm tired of being put down in this world because of the few greedy people at the top. I'm 20 years old. I work to support myself, and that's the only thing I can do. I apparently make too much money to get financial aid to go to school, so I'm kind of in a rut. Like, how am I going to go to school? But I need to work. I need to work and go to school, but how am I going to do that? I can't figure it out. I think a lot of people can't figure it out right now. I think a lot of people are in the same situation as me.
So what would you like done?
What would I like done? I would like everyone to become a part of this movement. I think it means if you're an American, like if you're anyone, not just an American, if you're part of the 99% of the people, then you should be a part of this. You should be concerned about this. I want to take down this whole, I want to get rid of the Federal Reserve. I want a true democracy here. I don't want to live in fear of corporations and banks. So that's what our lives are coming to.
Have you been staying here or just been coming here? How have you worked it?
I live in the city and I kind of have to go home to get ready for work. So I go to work, I protest, I go home and do it all over again the next day. That's what I've been doing the last 5 days.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was,
She looked about 20.
She was 20.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, that's what she said. But that's great. You know, that's a great thing. And
good. I'm glad that they're there.
I'm very, very glad that they're there. And there's another one I wanted to play here. Right here. Occupy Wall Street settles in. And
coalition of Immokalee workers about to begin a huge campaign against supermarkets like Trader Joe's, Stop and Shop, Giant, which is extremely important because if it succeeds, it will probably double the wages, which run between about $8,000 and $10,000 for agricultural workers in the tomato field who live in horrific conditions at best, and at worst, conditions that resemble slavery. But I've been following what's been happening here, and this is really where the hope of America lies. And all of the efforts of intimidation that we've seen by the police in New York, the disproportionate amount of force and the disproportionate numbers that have been deployed to contain the protests here, for me, illustrate that the real people who are scared are the power elite. Of course, they're trying to make you scared and us scared. But I can tell you, having been a reporter for the New York Times, that on the inside, they're very, very frightened. They do not want movements like this to grow. And they understand on some level, whether it's subconscious or in other cases even overt, that the criminal class in this country has seized power. That those people in this plaza, those people carrying out these protests, in the true sort of definition of the political spectrum, are conservatives in this sense. They call for the rule of law. They call for the restoration of the rule of law. And what's happened is that the real radicals have seized power, and they are decimating all legal impediments to the creation of a neo-feudalistic corporate state, one in which there is a rapacious oligarchic class, a thin managerial elite. And two-thirds of this country live in conditions that increasingly push families to subsistence level. And one of the reasons that I went to Immokalee and the reasons Immokalee is important is because in this race to the bottom, Immokalee is the bottom. It's where they want the working and even the middle class to end up. And that is a place where they have no rights, where because of massive unemployment and work that is part-time, poorly paid work, they can reduce the working class to a status equivalent to serfdom, where there are no pensions, no health benefits. Collective bargaining in Florida is illegal, a legacy of Jim Crow. And Immokalee isn't just a horrific pocket of essentially third world abuse, but is a vision of what the corporate state wants to impose upon the rest of us. And what they want is for us to remain passive and to remain frightened. And as long as we remain passive and frightened, entranced with their electronic hallucinations, we are not a threat. The moment people come out and do this, the corporate state is terrified. And if you doubt me, look around you at the huge numbers of cops, and not only that, but the kind of brutality that the cops have visited on peaceful protesters.
Does anybody have any questions? They all say thank you, hugs, telling how it is. They all like supporting you and they agree with you, and they thank you for coming down.
Well, this is
the truth.
I'm sitting in a park with the only free people in New York City. This is it. And fear is a potent force, and the security state and the corporate state has worked overtime to make us afraid. Because when you're afraid, you think with a different part of our brain. You become politically, emotionally, intellectually, and even physically disempowered. And we have to stop being afraid. And if we stop being afraid, then these nefarious forces that are destroying our ecosystem and destroying our country, their fragility will be exposed. So get out here and come with us in Washington on October 6th when we're going to, again, occupy a plaza, because the only mechanism we have left for reform is civil disobedience. Any belief that the formal structures of power, including the Democratic Party, are going to ameliorate the injustices being visited upon us is self-delusion.
Okay.
You're doing it right now. This is it. And you know,
people that are not here, me too, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about, it's about physically throwing your body in front of the machine. I'm not a big fan. I mean, I'm social networking is useful in terms of forms of communication, but I don't believe that it's useful in terms of forms of activism. Activism requires us to do what all of the great movements throughout history have done, and that is physically get out and obstruct the forces of control. And that's it. This is really the only option we have left. And it's extremely important because the system doesn't work anymore, because there is no way for incremental or piecemeal reform to be carried out within the system. In essence, we've undergone a kind of corporate coup d'etat in slow motion. It's imperative that those of us who care about democracy and civil society engage in these acts of civil disobedience, which I have. And, you know, to be honest, going to jail is more time than I care to donate to the U.S. government. On the other hand, I have children, and I look at my children and I wonder what kind of a world we're going to leave them. My youngest son is 3 years old, and his favorite book is Out of the Blue, which are these huge pictures of narwhals and dolphins, and he will sit on the floor of his room and flip through these pages, and I look at him. When I see him do that, it breaks my heart, because I know that if there is not a radical change in human behavior, all of those great sea creatures will be dead within his lifetime. Corporate systems are, in theological terms, and I'm a seminary graduate and can't escape it, are systems of death. They turn everything into a commodity. Human beings become commodities. The natural world becomes a commodity that they exploit until exhaustion or collapse. In that sense, Karl Marx was right. It is a revolutionary force, and the revolution has happened. They've won. And to appeal to the systems of power, or the illusory systems of power that they place before us, is to essentially become complicit in the radical reconfiguration that the corporate state intends. They know no limits. The only word corporations understand is more. They will push and push and push until human capital is destroyed, until the ecosystem itself is destroyed. And if we don't carry out acts of civil disobedience, then the rage that is being expressed by the working class, and it's a legitimate rage, will be channeled by proto-fascist movements like the Tea Party, militia, and other groups. And these are groups that celebrate violence, they celebrate the gun culture, they are racist towards Muslims, undocumented workers, homosexuals, intellectuals, and that's really the choice before us. Either those of us who care about an egalitarian, open society get out into the streets, or we cede power to movements that will seek to snuff out what is left of our anemic democracy. Yeats got it. I mean, we live in a moment when the best lack all conviction and the worst are full of passionate intensity. And the reason that what's happening today is so vital and so important and even monumental is that, to my mind, everyone in this park are the best.
Very well said, and good for him for saying that.
I love it. That was Chris Hedges from the New York Times columnist. I'm kind of surprised that he
spoke out.
That he did, and that he's there. And shows that some people really have a conscience, and even those in the corporations, you know, working for the major speaks. I this was probably the only news report that came out on this, and MSNBC was on, which was on the New York Police Department brutality during the Occupy Wall Street, and it's by what's his name, Donald.
Time for tonight's rewrite. This weekend, a few troublemakers turned a peaceful protest against Wall Street greed into a violent burst of chaos. The troublemakers carried pepper spray and guns and were wearing badges. Not doing anything. You heard the woman say that as the police were grabbing people for absolutely no reason, crushing them on the pavement and arresting them. We're not doing anything. We will post all of the video that we have on this protest on our blog, and you won't find anyone doing anything that is legal grounds for arrest. Another look at that unprovoked police brutality. The reason that man is being assaulted by the police is because of what he has in his hand. He's holding a professional grade video camera. Since the Rodney King beating was caught on an amateur video camera, American police officers have known video cameras are their worst enemies. They will do anything they can to stop you from legally videotaping how they handle their responsibility to serve and protect you. So this police commander has decided that the correct response to that man shooting video is to grab him and smash his head into a parked Volvo. The commanders are recognizable by their white shirts. The white shirts indicate a rank of lieutenant or above. Here's another courageous commander showing his men how to control the citizenry. His target for showing how tough he is was an unarmed woman who he had to reach across the police security line to grab. And there was at least one unprovoked use of pepper spray. USLaw.com has posted a slow-motion version of the pepper spray incident, which, of course, shows there is no conceivable justification for the use of the pepper spray.
Yeah. They're doing a slow-motion thing here and showing that this son of a bitch just they boxed in these four or five girls and pulled out a canister of pepper spray and then just started to spray them.
So they couldn't get away.
Yeah, but they weren't doing anything. They were just standing there, all right? So these sons of bitches are sadistic fucks, okay? And that's what you're dealing with here with the New York Police Department, all right? And, God, I hope this I hope these bastards pay for this.
Look at that. They penned them in.
Yeah, they penned them right in. And then there's five girls there, and then they just pepper sprayed them, all right? But what bothers me so much is that people around them didn't protest, didn't do anything. They just stood there, all right? Didn't complain, didn't say anything. Well, they sprayed these people. And that's one of the sick aspects of this protest. But if they ran up against these punks, started clocking.
As is usually the case in these situations, most of the police officers on the scene carried out their duties calmly and nonviolently, like this one. That's how you do it. Stand back, thank you. You respect those people. As usual, the police department is defending its troublemakers as having done absolutely nothing wrong. The department insists that the pepper spray was used appropriately. The department may be forced to conduct an investigation of the police conduct if police brutality complaints are filed, but police investigations of this sort are always a sham, designed from the start to the finish to defend the police conduct. The police department is already defending the inexcusable use of the pepper spray, which you just saw. They're defending it knowing there is videotape proving that it was unjustified. But the police department can do this because the police department knows that this story is going to go away. This kind of story always goes away. Someone would have to have been killed or very seriously injured in order for the press to stay interested in this story and for the police to do even a half-serious investigation into it. This is just a story of a few cops being tougher than they had to be and, yeah, technically breaking some laws. And cops know they can always get away with that. American police know that no mayor and no police chief is ever going to call them on just being what they think of as a little too tough. Now, I haven't bothered to mention where this took place or what police department was involved, because this is an American police work that we're watching. It's an American police work story. And in fact, it involved one of the best police departments in America. Every day in America, police are too tough. Every day in America, police cross the line and abuse citizens. Every day in America, police get away with that. White America was shocked at what they saw police doing to Rodney King. Black America would have loved to have been shocked by what they saw police do to Rodney King, but Black America only could have been shocked if what the police did to Rodney King was something completely alien to their community experience, was something they couldn't imagine the police doing in their community. There's a Rodney King every day in this country, and Black America has always known that. Everything those cops did this weekend to those processes, they've done to someone else when there were no video cameras rolling. They've done it, and they've gotten away with it. They know just how much assault and battery their department will let them commit. They know just how many false arrests their department will let them do. They know just how much latitude their department gives them on abusing citizens. They do it because they know they can. They do it because they know they will get away with it. None of the officers who crossed the line this weekend will be disciplined in any way. None of them will be charged with the assaults and batteries that they committed. None of them will be charged with the false arrests. None of them will lose a day's pay. The police department doesn't need an investigation to figure out what happened this weekend. The department has already said the officers acted appropriately. Case closed. That's it. If the department does, by some miracle, by some chance, discipline anyone, for what happened this weekend, I will immediately rewrite what would then be my mistaken presumption tonight that American police have once again gotten away with another crime against the American people they are sworn to serve and protect.
All right. That was
good for him, Larry O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell, yeah. MSNBC. This is another short piece by Susan Sarandon as she was visiting Occupy Wall Street, supporting those people. We can go to that right now and see what. Actually, before I do that, there's this very short one. An emergency medical technician was interviewed in Wall Street, and he was covering his face. They wouldn't be recognized, but I'd like to go to that quickly.
Our dump trucks, our cranes, our pickaxes, our chain blocks, our oxyacetylene tanks to burn the steel, side by side with them as a first responder. 10 years later, I can't get disability for that. I can't get workers' compensation. I have been diagnosed with stage 2 autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis. Everything you see in here are inhalers, painkillers, steroids, nasal you know, things to wash out my sinuses with, and all sorts of little goodies that a 34-year-old man should not be taking. It's really important. So my reason for being here is simply that I'm not just here for the first responders like on screen, like myself, but I'm here for everybody else, because as I'm here, I'm listening to other people's stories about them having financial difficulties, paying the roof for college tuition, paying for their high rent, paying for school, selling their clothing and shoes and stuff on eBay just to eat. Hey, it's enough. It's enough already. And it's a shock to me that as a union worker underneath this mask and glasses, that somebody like me can't get the same benefits of the people that helped defend this country, like the ones behind us wearing the badges and the FDNY. They got all the pageantry, all the parades, and all the benefits handed to them, and somebody like me who's down there for as long as most of them were can't get anything. I'm lucky I got...
I'm surprised they cut it so quickly, but that was good. That was a EMT.
First responder.
Right. Who's gotten fucked over by the system here. And it's just damn
it's
tragic.
One story after the other. It's just awful.
It is. And you know, and these damn cops, you know, are in there beating people up, you know, just it's just a sick freaking system, I'll tell you. I mean, it's no better. I don't see this as any better than Syria, except with Syria, they're shooting their protesters.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But these guys are actually beating them up and arresting them. All right? And I don't know.
There's no democracy.
There's no democracy here. I mean, these are peaceful protesters, and these bastards are
hurting
just,
them,
are hurting them, bringing them, grabbing them, you know, pepper spraying them for no reason.
Put on systems
the entrance. Yeah,
and
it's a sick society, man, I'll tell you.
It's
coming up here, hopefully it's
going to
be all right.
Camera, where you're standing right now, you're supposed to be. I think that is what the
monster
people care
about. Hopefully it'll be all right. what I wanted to do, there was another, there's a couple other good interviews that I hope I can pick up here. There was one by one done on Russian TV. Actually, let's do this one by, I wanted to do this one by Democracy Now!, which was a pretty good interview, and talking to a number of activists.
A rendition of John Lennon's Imagine, the Occupy Wall Street encampment in downtown New York. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Yes, it's day 10 of the Occupy Wall Street campaign. On Saturday, more than 80 protesters were arrested as hundreds took part in yet another march to Wall Street. The New York Police Department used nets and physical force to break up the crowds. Videos uploaded to YouTube show officers pepper spraying protesters in the face from close range, punching demonstrators and dragging people through the street. Since Saturday, September 17th, thousands, inspired by popular uprisings from Spain to the Arab Spring, gathered near Wall Street to decry corporate greed. On Sunday, protesters issued a communique calling for the resignation of the New York Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly and a dialogue with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Ryan Devereaux and John Gerberg of Democracy Now! Were in the streets talking to people about what took place.
There were some arrests down in the Wall Street area, including someone from the media team around 5th Avenue and 12th Street. There was a mass arrest, as many as 100, perhaps around 100, were taken in police vans, in city buses, and then those who remained came down. There were reports of pepper spray being used, people being dragged around on the ground by their hair. The witness reports are still coming in.
My name is Yell. This one police officer had whipped out his mace and sprayed it about a foot away from me.
Putting out cardboard signs that other individuals will come around and see. This whole act First Amendment in action, and something that I don't recall really seeing quite like this before.
What they're doing here is the assembly. The core demand, I think, right now seems to be the right to organize, to have a political conversation in a public space, to show Wall Street, so to speak, what democracy looks like.
That was Nathan Schneider, editor of the website WagingNonviolence.org. He talked about the protest over the last 10 days.
This protest began on Saturday with a rally down near Bowling Green and then a march up to a surprise location, which turned out to be Liberty Plaza. Since then, people began spending the night, that first night. Every day since, there have been interactions with the police, generally including arrests. There's been a lot of frustration about media coverage, but what matters more is that this group is learning the skills that are necessary in order to build that kind of coverage and build that kind of presence in the media.
My name's Henry James Ferry. The Media Center is a very group. It's made up of people who are live streaming through a handle of Global Revolution. It's made up of people like me who are tweeting from The Other 99. That's my handle, The Other 99. I also have a Facebook account that's putting up the list of our media events at We Are The Other 99. And we want to be a primary source of information. This is day 8 of the occupation. We want to create a narrative that the media can use to tell this story. Right now, this is a very messy, disconjointed story, and I don't think the media knows how to cover it. We're trying to create that narrative so that they have primary information source with pictures, with video, with sources that they can trust, so they can go out and tell the message to the whole country and the whole world.
For more on Occupy Wall Street, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. And organizers in Los Angeles have now just announced an Occupy Los Angeles campaign. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report.
Right, and that was a pretty good interview, pretty good segment. Here's one. There's so many brutal videos here of people getting bashed, and unbelievable. This was an excellent video. This is by Russian TV regarding the police brutality that's going on down there. And let me play that.
Running wild in New York, Americans dragged, punched, and pepper sprayed.
Woman on the ground screaming, crying.
This has got a slight snag in the video again.
They're getting assaulted brutally by police.
Over 80 people were arrested over the weekend at peaceful anti-Wall Street protests. Among them, Eric, beaten up and held for 36 hours. The deep scars on his hands speak for themselves. The activist is shocked by the price Americans are paying for speaking out about injustice.
The police response has been... and brutal. They maced 5 women. They collected them around a net and then maced them, and they weren't even warned. The captain stepped up, maced them.
I apologize for the quality of this.
Their faces, and then tried to run away and avoid cameras that were around.
The Occupy Wall Street movement was launched to kickstart America's own Arab Spring.
This is a historical moment. This is the beginning. Of the people's revolution. This government is not working in the best interests of the people or this nation.
This is a tough interview, unfortunately. I'm sorry. It's let's look at this one here. This is called Occupy Wall Street Truth Transmission Update. Let's see what this is all about.
Hey guys, Jay Kettle of Truth Transmission. You're the host. You probably already know that if you're watching this video, as I said before. But the Wall Street protest is still going strong. It's been going since Saturday the 17th. Wow. It's been a while, but that's a good thing. I have no problems with that. Remember that to donate money to the protesters, I'm going to try to find you guys the link again. I can't find the paper. I had it. Let me go to the IRC chat. It should be somewhere at the top. To donate, you can go to tinyurl. Actually, it's expanton.com. Logistical support? Yeah, expanton.com is where you want to go to donate. They're taking bitcoins. And are they taking any real currency? They should be. so that's how you can donate. Make sure that you do that. The live stream is livestream.com/GlobalRevolution. I heard more people got arrested, unfortunately. But it should be...
This guy's kind of a dud. Sorry. Let's see. We still got about 10 minutes, and there's, aside from people getting their heads bashed in and so on, I wanted to play a short piece by, thought there was a piece that I wanted to play by Michael Moore. Let's try this one.
We rejoin you with Countdown. Michael Moore is still with me, and I have much to ask him about two more topics, the execution of Troy Davis last night in Georgia, and our fourth.
Now, these damn videos, unfortunately, I'm so sorry, because these videos all have these snags in them, and they're just, I don't know if it's Google or if it's the problems that...
Hey, guys, Jay Kettle of Truth Transmission. You're the host. You probably already know.
Yeah, with the problems that they have. Obviously, the quality of these videos. Let's try another Russian TV one, and here we go.
We're gonna shut down Wall Street!
America's attempts to follow the example of the Arab Spring.
The bankster's fraud continues now. With bonuses obscene, America, America, how Wall Street shat on thee.
Social media had been abuzz with this planned occupation of Wall Street for months.
What do we want?
Revolution!
When do we want it?
Up to 20,000 people were supposed to spill out onto the streets of the Big Apple's financial district. But not more than 1,000 of the most fed-up Americans showed up.
I've got my sleeping bag and my pad. I'm told not to bring a tent, so I left that at home.
Ben flew in from out of state to camp out here day and night. He has a simple message for the U.S. president.
He's just backed out of everything he promised in the campaign, so it's like he's asking to lose the next election.
Wall Street greed and corruption and the lack of accountability that followed brought these Americans to the brink.
This is just the beginning of occupying Wall Street. The crowds say they're going to be here until their demands are heard inside the offices of the Wall Street skyscrapers.
Over 46 million people are living in poverty in the U.S., with 14 million unemployed. Much of this triggered by the shameless gambling of Wall Street CEOs.
This very spot, Wall Street, is a site of a heinous crime. It's been perpetrated by Wall Street bankers who, instead of guarding people's money, speculated with reckless abandon and incompetence. And they clipped the wings of the American dream.
You get these corporations that are paying no tax. I pay more tax than GE and Exxon.
I spent a lot of years and a lot of money working very hard to get a degree. That degree is worthless now. And right now, ultimately, they are more powerful than any emperor has ever been. We are facing down an army of Caesars. And Caesar must fall.
Mayor Bloomberg has been warning New Yorkers that as youth unemployment skyrockets, riots could be around the corner. But these people blame him, too.
Everyday people want to be involved in politics, and we deserve to be involved in politics. And I don't think you should have to be a billionaire like Michael Bloomberg to be involved in politics. You know, Michael Bloomberg is a beautiful example of what's wrong with this country.
But for demonstrations like this one to become a real force and not just a fringe group, more Americans will need to join these crowds.
I expect the volume to get a little larger. You know, all movements start off small. So to answer your question, why there's so few people, it's like, again, the information that gets out is controlled by the mainstream media, the corporate media.
So will the political and financial elite push Americans into launching their own Arab Spring, or will they take note before the crowds swell out of control?
One second,
warmongering
bastards!
This is Becca Churkina, RT, New York.
And that's, we got about 4 minutes left, and I'm just going to, there's one more here that I thought might be relevant. There's a couple of people that are just a couple of individual protesters being interviewed.
You've ever wondered why we don't hear more from bank whistleblowers and all the fraud in the banking and mortgage industries? The reason is because whistleblowers are being silent. I was hired by SunTrust Bank for their first security compliance team, so I was able to see the entire organization from a very sophisticated level. Three executive vice presidents of SunTrust were fired during a major security and exchange investigation. The EVP I reported directly to survive. But I was told that the calling was pushed to suicide by all the problems, and I thought, well, gee, I wasn't going to snitch on it.
Everybody for being there, and I wish them well, and I'm sure Lila does as well. And she, do you have any final statements, Lila, that you would like to say?
Just that I'm really proud of those people down there on Wall Street, and my heart is certainly with them. I wish I could be there.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful thing that they're doing, and it's great that people are filming it and putting it on YouTube.
Absolutely.
I thank them so much for keeping us informed. I really appreciate all that they're doing.
Yeah.
And thank you, folks. We all need to think about what's happening.
So with that final word, I want to thank everyone, too, and we wish everybody a whole lot of success down there. I would like to join you myself, but unfortunately it's not possible for me and Lila, but we do support you, and we support your efforts. So, and we'll end with that. And good night.
The Huffington Post and BuzzFeed reports a group of activists plans to...
It was kind of a silly thing I was trying to end with there, but not too good. Anyway, there was something that was only 55 seconds long. It was a little crowd noise here. And good night.